You'd like to find your place in John chapter 18. John chapter 18. I'd like to welcome you to the service on Resurrection Sunday. I sure am glad that he's alive and that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. There's hope in Jesus Christ because he's alive. Amen. He lives and he's still saving souls today. The title of today's message is Knowing Yet Going. There's many times in the Bible where it's recorded that Jesus went forth. And I'd like to preach from John chapter 18 this morning on the subject, knowing yet going. How many times in your life had you come to a point maybe and you realize, hey, had I knew that, I'd never went there. Or had I known what was going to take place, I'd have never made that decision. But I sure am glad that Jesus, who knew all things, he knew everything about the cross, about the suffering and the shame, he went forth anyway to save my soul. I have much to be thankful for today. In John chapter 18 and verse 1, it says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, unto the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. I'd like to draw your attention this morning to verse 4. Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? Jesus knew all things. He knew all about the deception of Judas. He knew all about the betrayal. He knew all about the fake trials. He knew all about the suffering that was to come. He knew all about the disciples that would scatter. He knew all about Peter's denial. He knew all about the beating, the crown of thorns. He knew all about the hatred of others. He knew about your sins and mine. He knew all about the shame and humiliation that he had faced that day. Oh, he knew of the separation from the Father. Hey, but I'm glad that we stand here today because knowing all things, everything that should come upon him, Jesus went forth. Hey, I just mentioned some awful things that is going to take place there in just a matter of hours. Oh, these are all negative things that Jesus knew. Oh, but thank God, there were some positive things that he knew as well. And Jesus went forth. Over in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, he knew all about the joy that was set before him. The Bible says that he knew all things that were to come upon him. Yes, he realized all the terrible things and the separation from the Father because of our sins that he bore in his body on the cross. Oh, but thank God, there was a joy that was set before him. And he endured all those negative things. He endured the cross. Why? Because of the joy that he had in fulfilling the will of the Father. Oh, there was also the joy of victory. Oh, I like the hymn. Oh, victory in Jesus. Oh, the joy. Oh, the joy that he had of being the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Oh, that joy of knowing that he'd be set down at the right hand of the Father. Oh, the joy of being in the presence of the Father. Not only that, but there was joy. Oh, he had joy. And then the fact that of being our intercessor. Oh, being our mediator and being our Savior. Oh, and the joy. Oh, I'm glad that he, knowing all things, he went forth. Oh, he knew. He knew that on May 17th, 1976, oh, some 1,900 years later, a little boy, 5 years old, would kneel beside his bedside and he'd call upon the name of the Lord and would be saved that day. Oh, he knew. Oh, that joy that was set before him. Oh, the joy of knowing that all those who put their faith in him would never taste of the sting of death. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 55 it says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I take you back to verse 4 here in our passage. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth. Right here's the question. And just like Jesus asked a question to this crowd that came to him, he said, whom seek ye? Whom seek ye? Did you come here this morning seeking him? Why do you seek him? Hey, this crowd sought after Jesus of Nazareth, but they weren't seeking a Savior. They weren't looking for someone who would forgive them of their sins. You know, many people have come to church looking for someone to give them a better life. Just looking for someone who would fix their problems. Oh, they just wanted to be delivered from their troubles, but they were not looking for a Savior. This crowd that came to Jesus in this garden, they were not looking to repent of their sins. They were not looking for Jesus to put their faith in him. No, they were just looking to fulfill the desires of their wicked heart. Everyone in that crowd that heard Jesus say, I am he, they went backward. And even fell to the ground. But they were not wanting to bow the knee to him. Everyone there heard the power of his name. I am he. He was the great I am. He is the one. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, he said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. This crowd that came to Jesus of Nazareth that night, oh, they were not looking for the way. They were not looking for the truth, and they surely were not looking for the life. They were not looking for the resurrection and the life. They were not looking to believe in him, to believe in the great I am. No, they rejected Christ. They rejected the Messiah. This crowd rejected the Lamb of God. Oh, just like so many people today, They were only looking for a stimulus. And many people today are just looking for something to help them along life's way. They're just looking for something to make their life just a little easier. Hey, maybe they're just looking for the COVID to go away, and they're just looking for things that'll just help them get back to what they call their normal. Oh, how many people today have rejected the Christ, the Messiah, the Lamb of God? How many people have heard that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by Him? How many people throughout history have heard that He is the resurrection and the life? But yet, they're only seeking Him to satisfy their own personal desires. Verse 4, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon Him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? All the people throughout the ages, even though He knew how many people would reject Him, throughout the last century, Jesus went forth. You know, as we go out soul winning, and we go out and we mail the gospel mailers, and we go door to door and leave a gospel message on people's doors, even though we know that the overwhelming majority of people will just discard that. I had a lady this week, a lady in her retirement years, most likely. She thought she was doing me a favor by handing me that gospel tract back. She said she didn't want none of it. And she said, I'm going to throw it away. I'd rather you just take it, because I don't want it. Aren't you glad that Jesus, even though she won't recognize it, she won't recognize Jesus as her hope, Jesus went forth anyway. He went to the cross loving that lady. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Oh, knowing how many people throughout the years would reject His sacrifice, Jesus still went to the cross. He still bled. He still died. He was buried, and He rose again on that third day for our justification. Knowing all this, He went forth. Therefore, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My grandpa used to sing a gospel in a gospel quartet, and he sang this song. Once a man whom we know as the Son of God hung upon a cruel tree. He suffered pain as no mortal man. He took my place. He did it all for me. When I step inside those gates of pearl, and the Master's face I see, I'll gladly kneel at His nail-scarred feet. Oh, praise the Lord, He did it all for me. He did it all for me. Each drop of blood that He shed for even me. When my Savior cried and bowed His head and died, oh, praise the Lord, He did it all for me. But right here's the question. How do you know Jesus today? Do you just know of Jesus of Nazareth? Or do you know Him as your personal Savior? You see, there were two different crowds in that garden of Gethsemane that night. They were those that knew Him as the great I Am. They knew Him as the Savior of the world. They knew Him as the Christ, the Messiah, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And then there was those that only knew Him as Jesus of Nazareth. That same crowd that only knew Him as Jesus of Nazareth, when they heard, when He said, I am He, they even went backwards and fell to the ground at the power of his name. But they never knew him as their Savior. If you're here today and if you're under the sound of my voice, and your testimony is based, your testimony of salvation is based upon some type of religious experience, then you'd better beware. Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, there was a crowd there that had an experience at the name of Jesus. Yet they did not put their faith in Jesus as their Savior. And they died in their sins. If your testimony of salvation is anything other than you were convicted by the Word of God that you were a sinner and on your way to hell, and through the Word of God that you learned that there was a Savior named Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, and you believed on Him for the salvation of your soul, oh, then you'd better beware. Because if you add anything to salvation other than what God has said in His Word, then you're not saved. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and this not of, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." No experience involved. You're saved by grace and through faith. It is the gift of God. Oh, it's going to take you humbling yourself, oh, before the Lord and saying, "I'm a sinner. Oh, I need a Savior. I can't save myself. There's only one that can save me, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ." And there you repent. Oh, and there you put your faith in Him. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." That crowd came to Jesus, but they were not diligently seeking Him. They were not coming to Him by faith. Oh, they did not believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Oh, it says in Hebrews 11, 6, "For he that cometh to God must believe." Believe what, you say? That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Jesus is the gift of God, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're going to be pleasing unto God, then that's what you must believe. No works involved, no experience required. Hey, John the Baptist preached on repentance. Jesus came preaching on repentance. And God the Father says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 that the Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not some experience, not some work salvation. The Bible says that there's none good, no, not one. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Oh, the only way to God is through His precious Son, Jesus Christ. Do you know Him as your Savior? Have you trusted in Him as the Lamb of God, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth? Or is He just Jesus of Nazareth to you? Many false religions, they refer to Jesus of Nazareth, but they don't know Him as their Savior. Hey, can I ask you a question? It's probably the most important question you'll be asked today. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Is it there? If you're basing your salvation on some religious experience you may think that you had, then my friend, you're still lost in your sins and on the way to a place called hell. I was preaching in a nursing home one day, and after the service, I went around to each person And I asked them if they were saved. I asked them if they knew Jesus Christ as their Savior. Not just heard of Jesus or heard of God, but did they know Him as their personal Savior? And there was an elderly man that survived World War II. And he began to tell me a story that when he was pinned down under enemy fire one day, that he was there and he had already been shot three times. And he knew that really he thought that this was going to be his last day on earth. And there as he sat there trying to just hide from the enemy fire as the bullets were coming down on him, he said, "I asked God to get me out of this situation. I asked God to get me out of here." And he looked at me and says, "And here I am. Here I am." This man was basing his salvation on an experience that he had. He didn't mention anything about Jesus Christ being his Savior. He didn't mention anything about repenting there and turning from his sins and turning to God in faith and believing that Jesus is the way, the life, He's the truth, and he couldn't get to God any other way. He was basing his salvation on an experience that he had. And there this man had deceived himself into thinking that he was saved and that heaven was his home. I took the Bible and I attempted to show him from God's Word what it meant to be saved and that his experience that he had, just because he called out to God to get him out of that situation, that did not save his soul from hell. That did not give him eternal life with Jesus Christ our Lord. And this man, in his older age, declined the truth. He said, I'm content with my experience. This man had deceived himself into thinking that he was saved based on some circumstance or experience in his life. No mention of Jesus. No mention of being under conviction of his sins. No mention of being guilty before God and deserving to die and spend an eternity in hell. No mention of faith in Jesus, which is the gift of God. Just an experience. He was just like that crowd in Gethsemane who were only looking for Jesus of Nazareth to satisfy the wicked desires of their heart. They too had a religious experience. They went backward and fell when he said, "I am he." But they never put their faith in the Savior. I want to ask you this question. Whom seek ye?